The goal for sexual violence prevention is simple: to stop sexual violence from happening in the first place. However, the solutions are just as complex as the problem. Alvid Productions produces and writes award-winning videos for corporations, production and marketing companies, television and public service agencies. But it is their passion for protecting God's children that we want to talk about this morning. John and Heather, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having us. It's so exciting to be here.
Yeah, good morning.
Tell us what you're trying to do with these videos.
Well, we originally got involved because somebody hired us several years ago. John came home and said, "We got a call from somebody who wants us to write a script about child sexual abuse." And my first response was, "Ew, you know, I don't want to do that." And then we got involved and saw the seriousness of the whole situation, and it really has turned into a calling. I remember standing at my kitchen thinking, "Oh, God, you know, how can I help kids and still feed my family?" You know, and these videos came our way. Well, then we read an article in the newspaper about Jenna, and John said, "We've got to do this. We've got to do this." So we're taking the leap on our own and creating a video for us rather than we've been hired by
for us, for others to use.
Yes. I'm sorry. We've been hired by folks who represented the Salvation Army, the Catholic Church, the Episcopal Church. Who else? Everybody else. And so it has become a calling. And so now we're producing a video about Jenna and the Quins for Alvid Productions for people to use, because more we believe in Jenna and we believe in her message. And Lord have mercy, what you guys have just done is just incredible. And Jenna's courage and the Quins' beautiful openness is just breathtaking.
Well, that's what attracted us as video producers, and I'm a former news person. I used to work with Scott way back when, and this is real, and it's somewhat rare to find people that have experienced what the Quins have felt who are as courageous and articulate
willing to talk about this issue.
Yeah. And when we saw the little feature story in the local paper here, we just said, those are the people we have to build a video around. And, you know, listening to them today, I mean, it's apparent how articulate, passionate, faithful, and real they are. And as video producers, especially people with a news background, to capture that and to put it out there to help get the message out, that's a home run for us.
Well, one of the tough sells as a video producer is getting your subject to, first of all, agree to sit down and do the interview with
you.
Jenna is still with us this morning. Jenna Quin is still in studio. Jenna, when you first heard or were contacted by the D'Amicos, what was your thought? Because up to that point, if I understand it correctly, you hadn't spoken about this publicly.
Right, exactly. And when my parents told me that, you know, there was something in the works or, you know, a video, I was thinking, what in the world is going on? I mean, naturally, I was just like, whoa, okay. So I did the whole article in the Dallas Morning News with Steve Blow, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm going to be faithful to whatever God wants me to do. And although it's, you know, some days are really hard, but I have to realize that this is not about me at all. God, I am just an instrument, as well as they are, by making this video in terms of setting the captives free and, you know, helping others to see that God wants to restore them, you know. And so I was pretty excited. I wasn't sure, you know, I had, of course, the whole schema and script of how maybe things might be in my head when in terms of talking about a production or whatever. But I was very excited.
Well, is that the tough thing for you guys, is to be faithful? She was speaking of being faithful, faithful to her and to her.
Oh yes, yeah.
To her story.
Oh yes, yeah. I feel very protective of the Quins, and our the video that they've so generously allowed us to build and create. I want them to see it first because it's very emotional. They have trusted us, Jenna. One of the last things when we left their house, Jenna looked at me. She said, "I trust you."
No pressure.
So yes, I want to be very faithful to them, and they've opened up their hearts and their souls to us, and so it's up to us to treat them with respect and generosity.
Well, one of the things that we've learned, again, we're not psychologists or professionals in this area, but the one thing that's apparent here to me is that awareness. If people are just aware and keep their eyes open, and instead of ignoring something or saying, well, maybe somebody else will stop that, that's half the battle. You know, you look at some things like in the Catholic Church, for instance, since that's gotten so much publicity, and think of all these people that say, you know, that this happened and it went on for years. And nobody along the way either said, you know what, that doesn't look right. Let me tell the principal or let me report to the good priest that, you know, something's going on. And anywhere along the way, if somebody had just opened their eyes and spoke up, years of abuse would have stopped. Look at Jenna's case, 3 years. You know, and as Kelly said, if she had just been aware of one of the signs. So our mission is with this video to make it compelling. So the general audience or people in a church group or whatever your awareness training is, you're going to remember that. And if we get one person, like with your radio show today, to just say, you know what, that doesn't look right, I'm going to speak up. Like this 5-year-old girl that the caller mentioned, mm-hmm. somebody needs to do something now. So you don't want to hear that when she's 10 and say, this went on for 5 years. Mm-hmm. It just takes being aware, open your eyes, and then speaking up, and don't say somebody else is going to do it.
Well, how can churches, organizations get a hold of this video?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Heather.
We are in the process of creating it, and it's very compelling because the Quinns are so compelling.
We're very proud of it, yeah, but it's the Quinns. I mean, and it's apparent, I think, to your audience how articulate and faithful and truthful and courageous these people are.
Well, and for video, they're telegenic. They're attractive
people. Oh, well,
people.
That's another thing that we like.
She's not hard to look at, let me tell you. But we have just this morning got a website up, and it's www.notjustjenna.org. And you can click on the website, and there's more information there about us and the Quinns. And you can.
Now, are you going to charge a lot of money for this?
Oh, yeah.
I know that churches.
Got to recoup those costs.
Well, you know, that was part of our thing here, is that if we could produce a video that is top quality, a professional, and what we call watchable, because a lot of things in the video world is, you know, you can buy a video, and if nobody's going to watch it, if it's not going to impact anybody, if it's not going to touch you in the heart as well as the head, what have you really got? So we plan for this to be reasonably priced so really anybody can afford it. And our hope is that enough people buy it to where – I don't mean this the way it's going to sound, but there's a lot of Joe's daycare centers out there. There's a lot of organizations that need training material that can't get it because it just costs a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But we promise, and through this webpage you can contact us, and there's a lot of ways we can take this once we see what your needs are. But it will be affordable, it will be compelling, and your people will be aware and they will remember.
I'll just throw in real quick, because we have a couple of versions. We have a faith-based version. And we have a secular version that anybody can use to start the discussion. And the most important thing is that Jenna actually talks to the kids, talks to her peers. She says, if you're out there, I know, you know, God wants this for you. And I think that is so compelling to hear it from the survivor and, you know, and one that's age-based. Go ahead.
When is it going to be ready?
This afternoon.
All right, stay with us. We're going to take a 2-minute break, and we want to hear more from you and more from Jenna.
I got to a point where I needed to say, okay, I'm not going to be ashamed, because if I'm too ashamed to say that my name is Jenna Quinn and that I am a sexual abuse survivor, and if I am too ashamed to tell my story, then how do I expect other girls and boys to come forward and talk to somebody about their abuse? How can I teach, you know, when I'm too embarrassed to even say my name? So that's when I made the decision, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm just going to go all out. So I did.
You're amazing. You're amazing.
She is amazing. She is definitely amazing. And I tell you, that's just a little excerpt from the video. And do you have a title for it, guys?
Yeah. In fact, we call it It's Not Just Jenna, because it's not just Jenna. It could happen to virtually anybody. So we all have to be diligent.
You know, one of the things, John and Heather, I've been involved with you guys in some aspect of producing these for a number of years now. And, you know, one of the things that struck me is the time that we had a bunch of perpetrators. Mm-hmm. You guys arranged for them to come up and we interviewed them at a hotel room is where it was. But, man, talk about just walking out of that room shaken. and terrified, yes. And with the willies and everything else. Can you guys talk a little bit about what you discovered in talking with them?
Oh, my gosh. It's like Jenna's talked about. They are so clever and so patient. It's not just like, hey, you know, the perpetrator that abused Jenna, he didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, I think I'm going to – he planned it.
Yeah.
They plan it, and they are very patient. Because my first reaction when I first met one perpetrator was, you know, oh, come on. How could a mother trust her child with those people? And, all right, this is what this guy did. He was an architect. He was a professional. Okay, so – and he goes to church, meets a single mom with a boy that he wants – and he befriends the mother, and he says, oh, let me take Johnny home from school. And he doesn't do anything right away the first time around. Oh, you're busy. You're a working mother. I'll take Johnny to his
and
ball game.
And she thinks, oh, this is wonderful. I have a male influence on my child.
Yes, she thinks she's been given a godsend.
Yeah.
And again, it doesn't happen right away. They plan and they plan and they plan and they plan.
They're so patient, it's amazing. And it's almost textbook how patient these people are.
Yeah, and so that's why one of the most important things you have is a healthy suspicion. My daughter jokes all the time. I got to talk quick because I know we only have a little bit of time. But my daughter jokes all the time, oh, I can't do anything because my mother's, you know, been in news too long. She does these abuse videos. and she said to me, she goes, Mom, come on now. What if it was, would you let me go with somebody? If it was, what if you're best friends with these people? And what if, you know, would you let me do this? And I said, darling, I said, guess who we're doing a video on? Guess what we're doing? The best friend. And she goes, doggone it.
How old is your daughter?
She's 15.
But it really does make you look at every person she's spending time with a little bit differently.
And,
you know, I think that the word healthy suspicion, you know, you don't have to go around not trusting everybody or thinking everybody's bad, but you have to have a healthy suspicion. One thing that I'd like to point out about perpetrators is their incredible patience. I mean, look at even Jenna's case, how patient it was, how it starts slow and builds. These people are incredibly clever. You know, I hate to use the word intelligent, but they're clever.
Yeah, it's that whole grooming aspect.
Exactly, the grooming. You hear that term grooming, but that's what they do. And it's so interesting because you can hear Jenna's story. You can hear, you know, put 100 victims in a room and their stories are almost exactly the same. And, you know, the one thing that jumps out at me about these perpetrators is if you say, well, what have you done in the past? Coaches, Santa Clauses. I mean, everything you could think of that is so not what you would associate with this, these guys have it on their resume. And it's really simple to think why. Perpetrators want to be where the kids are. That's why all the programs where you have a group of kids, you have to be healthy suspicion. And it makes sense. Where kids are, these manipulators, that's where they're going to be. So be careful.
NotJustJenna.org. Domingos, thank you for being with us.
Oh, our pleasure. Thank you.
Welcome back to Mornings with Scott and Lori. It's 8 minutes until the top of the hour, and man, we are talking about sexual abuse, and we've had so much information and good stuff, and I just want to thank our callers so much.
Well, and there is hope. There is hope after sexual abuse is what we have come to the conclusion of with this program. We've got Mike in Pennsylvania on the line. Mike, welcome to Mornings.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. Now, I understand you're a police officer.
I was a military policeman for about 6 years.
And you have some experience with sexual abuse?
Yeah, they sent us to a workshop on sexual abuse, sexual predators, adult and child, after a rape case that we had worked on. And one of the things that astounded me when you talk about signs or giveaways of a person's real intentions was the role that pornographic material played in that. Sexual predators would use to build trust with children and lead them down that dark path. And I was just wanted to ask Jenna if the person who victimized her used pornography.
I am so happy that you brought this up because it is very much alive in sexual predators' lives, and I was exposed to pornographic material. He showed it to me when I was at his house trying on a basketball uniform. And, of course, you know, I asked, did your wife know about this? And, of course, she didn't. And also, alcohol was offered to me while watching the pornographic material. But, you know, it's interesting to me because one of the justifications that my perpetrator used in showing me the pornographic material was he said that he could be my sex coach, you know, in quotes. And so he said, well, I can teach you. He said, you know, there's so much about your body that you don't even know about and you're sheltered and all of this. And so really taking as if it's to my advantage that he is doing this. And so, yeah, I definitely have a personal vendetta with pornographic materials because I do believe and I do know that absolutely nothing good comes from watching pornographic material. I mean, maybe short term, yeah, if you want to feel good for a little bit. But it ruins people's lives. It ruins families. It ruins everything. And, you know,
and as we see in the news, it can end in death.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mike, Mike, any other follow-up questions?
Yeah, any other questions about it?
No, I just thought that was important to bring out.
It's
usually one of the last steps that predators use is pornographic material. And that was always the telltale sign if we went into, say, a domestic violence situation, if there was a lot of pornographic material in the house, you know, that was usually the first thing I would know to look for.
It's a big clue. That's good.
Was that, you know, maybe there's some kind of sexual abuse going on as well. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Mike, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thank you. Bye bye. Heather, you had something.
I wanted to toss that. The predator that we talked to too did the same thing. He would throw out a pornographic magazine and just leave it out. That was his lure.
It's just rampant.
And if the child did not pick it up and look at it, then he'd say, "Hey, look at this." And then they use it. They say, "Hey, I didn't make you look at those dirty pictures. You looked at them yourself." And they would compile the guilt on the young one so the young one wouldn't cry
out.
It's
your fault.
Yes, exactly. It's your fault. And it's not. It's not the victim's fault ever.
We want to give people a couple of resources in case they suspect something or they have been abused themselves. One is your website, notjustjenna.org. And this Texas site that we mentioned earlier has a lot of links for other states and facts about abuse. And it is TAASA.org.
Wow. Well, I just want to thank everybody so much this morning for being with us. The D'Amicos, thank you so much. What you're doing is just, you know, it's furthering our knowledge of what we need to look for.
And Jenna's going to break it out.
I agree.
And when it's no longer something to hide or be afraid of, they'll speak it out, we'll end abuse, and it's going to be because of Jenna.
Yeah, we think God has ordained her and chosen her to help break out this topic. Thank you all so much for being here. We're going to end our program today with our spiritual vitamin, and it was produced by Paul Phillips, and it is on this very topic. So we want to thank him for doing that and talk about restoration, healing, and hope.
You're listening to Mornings with Scott and Lori. Thank you so much for joining us.